Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. I think our church is like many. We have a prayer chain that goes frequently, sometimes several times a day. You know, keeping your arms raised for a period of time might not seem difficult until you try it. And no matter how strong you are, you eventually find it impossible to hold them up. Imagine a 20-pound weight strapped to each one. Exodus 17:8-16, Moses was faithfully praying on a hill while his soldiers were below fighting the Amalekites, and, well, he needed someone to hold up his arms. You know, you need to ask God today to bring people into your life who can faithfully and lovingly lift you up in prayer without judging you or expecting anything in return. And if you're not in Moses' situation right now, perhaps you can be someone else's Aaron or her. Why not ask God to lead you to a person who would appreciate your intercession in the area of prayer today? It's such a blessing for you. Well, how was the weather in your neck of the woods yesterday? We got a lot of snow here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So much snow that we canceled church. One of the rare things we do at the Cross. Canceled church yesterday. That powerful winter blast killed 9 people, hundreds of thousands without electricity today. The storm covered large swaths of the country in snow and slush and ice, leaving a trail of deadly car crashes and widespread power outages in its wake. It sure did. That terrible storm has moved on from the Midwest and is pulverizing the Mid-Atlantic states' East Coast, dumping inches of snow and prompting governors in its region to declare states of emergency. On Sunday, the storm, which began actually Friday here in the Midwest, slammed into North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, Washington, D.C., covering the nation's capital with between 4 and 7 inches of snow and forcing 3 main airports in that region to cancel hundreds of flights. More than 180,000 people in North Carolina and Virginia lost electricity, prompting governors in both of those states to declare a state of emergency as the storm dumped dangerous snow and ice all over the place. Virginia state troopers said they responded to about 324 crashes on the slick, icy highways, which killed 3 people there and stranded 200 vehicles. Nasty storm. 2 young female police officers lost their lives in uniform this past weekend. Davis Police Department officials say Natalie Corona was investigating a 3-car traffic crash near Sacramento, and one of the people involved in the crash opened fire, killing her. Corona, the 22-year-old daughter of a retired sheriff's deputy who'd only been on the job 2 weeks, was rushed to UC Davis Medical Center in Sacramento, where she died. The department issued a citywide shelter-in-place order as officers searched for the suspect, who was later found dead in a house near the shooting from what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Why, oh, why, oh, why? Corona had graduated from the Sacramento Police Department's Training Academy in July, completed her field training at Christmas, described as a rookie and a rising star in the police department. Her death comes one day after a young female officer in Louisiana, Shatera Payne, was fatally shot on her way to work Wednesday night outside a home on the west side of Shreveport. That 22-year-old officer was taken to the hospital, where she was later pronounced dead. Shreveport police did not release details of any persons or interest in the shooting, but revealed one person has been detained for questioning. Wow. So tragic, this stuff. Our hearts go out to those families. We need to pray for them as they mourn the losses of their young family. Goodness. Well, let's see. Let's have some shutdown shenanigans. No work, lots of play for the Democrats. With the longest government shutdown in U.S. history entering its 4th week now, some 30 Democrats are under fire for going to Puerto Rico this weekend and met with lobbyists to see a special performance of Hamilton. They had it in Washington. Why didn't they see? Oh, never mind. While the Democrats also planned on attending the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Bold Pack gathering in San Juan and met with Puerto Rican officials to discuss ongoing cleanup efforts of Hurricane Maria, Republicans were angered over images of their Democratic colleagues enjoying the beaches there on the island. While the president is in D.C. working to resolve a government shutdown and secure our borders, Democrats are hitting the beaches and partying with lobbyists, said RNC Chairwoman Ronna McDonald. Democrats soaked in the sun while a new potential crisis was also on the horizon at the border. There's a new caravan reportedly forming in Honduras with plans to head to America, land of the free. Thought that often comes up, do any of these politicians really care about you or what's going on? It just seems like a real game, doesn't it? Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina had an idea. He recommended that President Trump open the government for a period of time, perhaps maybe 3 weeks. Let's open it up while resuming negotiations and trying to reach a deal with the Democrats. If they refuse to compromise on a deal after those 3 weeks, then Graham said Trump should resort to those emergency options to get funding for the border wall. Meanwhile, the effects of the shutdown starting to manifest. Trump expected to sign legislation this week authorizing back pay for 800,000 federal workers who either have been idled or working without pay during the shutdown. He's expected to address the American Farm Bureau today. Farmers have supported Trump through a trade war with China, but some are complaining about the loss of loans and payments and other services. So the president will check that out today. Canadian air traffic controllers are buying pizzas. Yeah, they're buying pizzas for their American counterparts in Salt Lake City, Utah, and Anchorage, Alaska, as a show of support. Some 10,000 air traffic controllers in this country have been working without pay since December the 22nd. Wow, how would that be? Can you imagine? I mean, I do. I don't get any pay, but that Social Security check is a big deal. Where would we be without that? When you have bills, you expect the money to be there, and it's not. How many weeks is it? I think 6 weeks you're supposed to have. 6 weeks of money in the bank to cover things just like this. I don't know too many people that have more than 6 days in the bank for something like this. Just a thought. Be praying for all of these folks as you enjoy your life today. More news right after this. Are you like me? I like new things that help me along in my average day. How about you? So many things out there. How about that microwave? How many times today have I already nuked the coffee, warmed that baby up? Shortens cooking time drastically and certainly gets that cold coffee hot in a hurry. The washing machine, the computer I'm using today to put together this radio program. New technology has added effects of increasing life's already fast pace, as well as our desire for instant gratification, an instant solution for that thing. Not everything in life is like that. Consider our growth in Jesus Christ, which is known as sanctification. Being a Christian is neither an event nor a quick fix. Rather, it's a great journey. There are things for us to learn along the way while we unwisely choose a longer path than necessary. There are really no shortcuts to all of this in life. Some people grow little after their salvation. They're not encouraged in their faith or discipled well. Others fail to pursue maturity through prayer, meditation, and the scriptures of fellowship, God's people. And God's not pleased when his children opt for complacency. That's why his word tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Do you notice any changes in your life and character since the day you were saved? Are you able to detect spiritual growth in the last year? Your Heavenly Father wants to mature you, so why not make a continued effort to cooperate with Him in reading the Scriptures and praying and fellowshipping and repenting of all the known sin in your life? That'd be a great start for a Monday. Well, when I let the dogs out in my fenced backyard this morning, looking around, it's a beautiful morning, squirrels running around, I peered over my fence and saw the neighbor's new fence. The college professor with his doctorate recently put up that new beautiful fence. Seems he's lost a thing or two, and then the worst part was this summer, some strange man was taking pictures of his two little twin daughters in a swimming pool in the backyard. That did it. Why would anyone want a fence? That's really a dumb question, isn't it? The president wants to build a border wall to keep people from entering the United States illegally, but the Democrats are doing everything they could possibly do to reward people for doing just that, sneaking into this country. Oh, there's free health care, free college tuition, work permits, protection from deportation in sanctuary cities. Why wouldn't people try to sneak across the border and get into this great country? Though President Trump has offered up plenty of good arguments in favor of building a barrier, he has ignored the most convincing one of all. It's one of those things you don't talk about. Countering the welcome mat rolled out by the Democrats in California, New York, and many other blue states. Just as President Obama's 2012 announcement of the DACA program encouraged a surge of migrants heading toward the border, convinced that the United States was becoming more hospitable, so has the continued pandering to the undocumented population in some states sent exactly the wrong inviting signal to these people. No wonder Democrats won't fund a wall. No wonder they refuse to even talk about it. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senator Minority Leader Chuck Schumer know that the facts out there support a limited border barrier of the type sought by the president. As important, they know there's no real reason to oppose spending $5.6 billion on an infrastructure project that many in their own party have previously endorsed. Yep, Pelosi and Schumer must fear that the more Americans learn about the proposed border fence, the more they might question the Democratic resistance to the idea. That's why this duo has gone to such lengths to warn that the president's pitch for the wall is full of misinformation and even malice. At least they worry voters might start to ask, what's the harm in a wall? NPR recently reported that Border Patrol agents in San Diego, where fencing now exists, enthusiastically, that's the word, enthusiastically support the plan for an expanded barrier. One senior agent told NPR we could not make a measurable impact on the flow of undocumented immigrants across the border. It was not until we installed barriers along the border that gave us the upper hand that we started to get control of this thing. Oh, you could talk about this thing for hours. But doesn't common sense just dictate we need a wall? Oh, yes. My neighbor's real happy with his. Watch any of the football playoffs over the weekend? As a somewhat older person myself, I couldn't help yesterday versus tomorrow, the old fogies versus the future, geezers versus Generation Z. Oh, you get the whole idea. Help me out here. I need more hacky old school cliches versus the hacky new school cliches. All you need to know is this. On one sideline are two aging quarterbacks who remember what life was like way back there in the golden years when a human being woke up and walked down the edge of the driveway to pick up a crude instrument of daily information known as a newspaper. On the other sideline are two young pre-natural quarterbacks who may never have heard of a newspaper. You believe that? Tom Brady, Drew Brees, the old guys in football, they're going to be 41 and 40, respectively, when they start in the AFC and NFC championship games for New England and New Orleans come this weekend. Check the math, but I believe that makes Brady and Brees a combined 3,240 years old. What do you think? If they weren't playing next weekend for a shot at the Super Bowl, they'd be side by side in the mummy existence at the Smithsonian. At least they'd be playing golf, right? Instead, Tom Brady is going to sleep in his magic anti-aging pajamas to prep for the big showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Who's that wet-behind-the-ears kid that's just tearing things up? Mahomes is nothing less than the most thrilling new player in the NFL in years. 23 years old, that's not fair. Brady has University of Michigan sweatpants older than that. We don't want to talk about the world when Brady was 23, like movie tickets were 40 cents. Well, you get the whole idea. Should be interesting to see what in the world is going to happen in football this weekend. But remember, time catches up with all of us sooner or later. Bible. Let's talk Bible right after this. Thank you for listening to the broadcast, telling others about the broadcast, encouraging us with fine words on Facebook especially, and, well, text, even phone calls. Love your support. We're coming to Tri-Cities, Tennessee, there at the end of February, last Wednesday of February, going through Friday for Share-a-thon 2019 at WHCB. Still trying to put together a schedule of speaking, so if you haven't contacted us, you got a couple of hours yet. We're trying to nail some things down, decide how long we're going to stay in that beautiful part of the country, Eastern Tennessee. Get in touch, gregpatton.com, or email me, helloworldradio@gmail.com. And as always, we thank you so very much for just being there. Well, I'm still thinking about the new year and things that I would like to do this year. You need to keep excited. You need to keep planning. New Year's resolutions, probably most of them have gone to the wayside by now. I hope they were good ones, like maybe stop smoking or drinking or, and those are good ones, or losing weight. That one is such a toughie. I mean, you get in there and exercise like crazy for about 14 days, and then that wasn't too good an idea. So how are you doing here in 2019? Huh? Things going pretty well? I want to talk to you for a few moments about some commitments, some real resolutions, which I think will make a radical difference in your life. You just follow through on them. They're biblical. I'd like to offer some things here that will change your life. And here's what I suggest. If you make four major commitments that God in His holy word encourages you to make here, I guarantee you're going to start out this new year, could become one of the most significant years of your life. In fact, I tell you that if you follow God's advice, that 2019, it could be the best year of your life. I want to challenge you in these four areas. And number one, and these are good ones, and they're a little bit different. Commit yourself to forget your failures, the past. Read Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's advice in the Word of God, and it stood the test of time. I don't know of anything more relevant or practical to start off 2019 than that advice. We don't have to live our lives imprisoned by the past. All of us have failed in some way, and this past year included. Probably we won't see our failures recorded for history on television, but they're recorded in our hearts and minds. And for many of us, our failures are past memories. Maybe for you, it's a memory of how you failed a relationship, wrong decisions, wrong things, and the relationship ended. Some of you are parents. Probably know you failed your children in some way. Some children are listening right now and are aware that they have failed mom and dad. It's more likely that many of us know that we have failed ourselves in so many ways, and all of us should know that in some way we have failed Almighty God. What's God's word saying to us here that we must not allow ourselves to be bogged down, drugged down, as the enemy uses our past failures? You don't want to dwell on that past so much that it stops you from moving forward into the future with God. I think that's a good start in anything, certainly in a new year. Time to rise to the challenge, to say to yourself, I'm going to, with the help of Almighty God, forget this stuff. I'm going to stop torturing myself about what I did or did not do. This year is going to be a good time to stop being chained to the past. God is saying here in His holy word, He doesn't want you to go through your life branding yourself as a failure. Jesus Christ died on a cruel cross of Calvary so that you could be forgiven. When we become Christians, that forgiveness becomes reality in our lives. And when we have received Christ's forgiveness, it allows us to forgive ourselves and to forget those failures. Isn't that good stuff? Maybe you need to do the right thing today. Maybe you need to accept Jesus Christ's forgiveness and then forgive yourself. And then commit yourself to give up your grudges. So many people have this. I want you to listen to these words from the book of Colossians, because in them, you'll hear the second challenge I believe God wants us to rise to if you want to make 2019 a significant turning point in your life. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do you get the challenge there? God, in those words, is challenging us directly and personally to give up grudges. That's what it means. He says to forgive each other whatever quarrels you may have against one another. A grudge is a deep, ongoing resentment that we cultivate in our hearts and against someone else. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads us to an unforgiving attitude, and unforgiving actions follow. Now, I know you know what I'm talking about. Harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike for someone. What you need to know is that grudges are dangerous because they're so destructive. Grudges destroy marriages, families, friendships, even split churches. Yep. Let's be honest enough to admit that one of the problems of the church in general is the grudges that Christians hold against one another. I want to tell you today, if you know that you're holding one against someone, then God has something to say. He says, give it up. Now, give it up. I want to remind you that grudges are not just destructive, they're also self-destructive. When you hold a grudge against someone, you will hurt yourself as much, I think more, than you will hurt the person you're holding it against. Make no mistake, if you're harboring a grudge, it'll eventually destroy you. If not physically, certainly emotionally and spiritually, render you just blank. It will make you a bitter and twisted person. The book of Job, chapter 21, describes the people who have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Do you want to be remembered that way in life? Do you want that parable that Jesus told about the servant who was forgiven a huge debt by the king and then refused to forgive someone else a very tiny amount? Is that you? Jesus said his unforgiving spirit landed him in prison. Max Lucado makes this interesting comment in one of his books. He says, unforgiving servants always end up in prison. Prisons of anger, guilt, and depression. God basically is saying, don't sentence yourself to prison. No, set yourself free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So give up those grudges. Forgive each other whatever you may have against another. According to God's word, the way to give up a grudge is to forgive. It's just that simple. We'll talk more on the next program about grudges and how to start things new, especially here in 2019. Yeah, this is encouraging. Should help you a great deal, my friend. Don't let the devil take you down today. And finally, look, it's a hero. Unsung heroes are found in every city and every community in America, and some might be easier to spot, especially if they wear a neon vest to work, as the case is for Wallace Peoples. Peoples, 62, has worked for Sherwood Forest Elementary School as a crossing guard for 2 years. Everybody calls him Mr. Peoples. They're my kids, Peoples says of the students. He helps cross the road every day safely. I take this thing seriously. Students have taken notice of his character and commitment. He's looking for everyone there, looking out for him anyway. The kids, the parents, he doesn't miss a beat, says one mom. He's just an extraordinary human being. He helps all of us and keeps us safe, and we all love him. In December, Peoples said his car broke down, prohibiting him from getting to work. He also says he spent Christmas Eve in the hospital. So one Sherwood Elementary parent, Sloan Johnson, says she heard about Peoples' plight. She posted Monday on Facebook in hopes of getting him some help, and the response was tremendous. In 2 hours, they raised $800 for him and got a car donated. Oh, I love those kind of stories. A tip of the hat to Mr. Peoples. And today's bumper sticker, very popular here in the Midwest, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio. I am not drunk. I'm just avoiding all the potholes. Boy, is that true. Hello, world. Comes your way each day at this time. Monday through Friday, we're starting it off again. Tell others about the program. And join us again tomorrow. The same time, same place. Do something for the Lord this Monday. Until tomorrow, God bless and enjoy the remainder of your day.